I got copies of the St. Louis Convention in the dining room, and that is to be held on October 2 and 3. I also want to mention that a week from tomorrow, Monday evening, August 9th, Brother Terry Nadell will serve the class at the North Lake Hotel, 41 Lake Street in North Lake. Take I-90 to East Lake Street exit. This was formerly the O'Hare Port Hotel, and that name is still on the building. O'Hare Port is on the building, though the official name is North Lake Hotel. That's a week from tomorrow. 2 weeks. Two weeks from tomorrow. That's right. I'm sort of pushing things. We also have love from Brother and Sister Chambers from Vancouver. Love from the Saginaw Bay City Ecclesia. We also have love from Brother Bob and Edna Mae Chastain. Brother Bob is somewhat weaker. He is now confined to his bed. We also have love from Sister Mary Jane Burns. Next Sunday, we expect Brother Zieminski from Poland to be here, and the brethren voted last Sunday to have his service, and so he'll serve us in the morning. Now for this morning, very happy to have Brother Levi Jacobs with us. I'm sure that all of us have received a blessing from his ministry in the past, and we expect another blessing from the Lord through his service this morning. And he's chosen as his subject, Feast of Trumpets, Brother Levi Jacobs.
Greetings of warm Christian love, and may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are looking forward to this very special and momentous occasion of reuniting in fellowship and service with the dear brethren in this area. And we're quite sure that the blessings of the Lord have been abounding in your midst, and we're very happy to be able to be here and share them with you. Remain with you, of course. I bring with myself the loving greetings of our group that we associate with from Connecticut, the Madison, Clinton, Westville area combined. They send special loving greetings to the brethren here. And we also have a few other messages from local brethren there, but we'll speak of that at another time. It's quite a challenge as to what to select for a subject on such an occasion as this. Not that we don't have many things to talk about, but it's the matter of trying to convey to you how we feel about the tremendous significance of the events in which we are participating on the world scene, on the church scene, and in the temple. We're going to get into this eventually more heavily as we go along. And so we needed the guidance of the Spirit to give us the inspiration as to what to select when we think we have a subject that will be fitting for the occasion, the Feast of Trumpets. It's a joyful connotation, and yet it's a serious one. We're living. We're dwelling in a grand and awful time. In an age on ages, tell you, to be living is sublime. You know, I quoted this precious gem of poetic insight on occasions of past service. And none have been more propitious for such a quotation in this particular occasion right now, seeing that the world has witnessed another breakthrough by being allowed to come in physical contact with a distant planet of the heavens, 200 millions of miles in space, and have landed on the terra firma there, and are sending back messages at the rate of the speed of light, which we talked with you and were with you on another occasion last year, so you see it's evidently that factor is becoming more significant in our calculations and concepts, the speed of light. Our Father dwells in the light unto which no man can approach. And if we're here long enough, we hope to dwell on the fact that he dwelleth between the cherubims. Light is the characteristic of our God. It should be our characteristic, too, on the spiritual level. But anyhow, as we were saying, from the physical point of view, the messages come back, we say, we understand, at the speed of light, which is 186,200 miles per second. It's almost incomprehensible. And yet it is accurately measurable. It takes 19 minutes to get a message back here from Mars. And they're giving us the dasher on the weather and the conditions and the elements and so forth that are there. The moon, of course, was a breakthrough in its own right when it happened. And they walked around on that place. Our men actually landed, the astronauts. So this is the day and age in which we're living. This is the measurement that you have to adjust yourself to. So I say it is true that we, in an age on age, is telling to be living this sublime. And it has a spiritual counterpart. There are breakthroughs in the spiritual realm which are equally comparable, in fact more so, if we can appreciate them. The reason I say equally, because we are slower to wake up to the realization of spiritual momentous events, because they're not so obvious. So they're actually superior when we get the full grasp of what's happening in the spiritual domain. And so it is not by chance that we have been privileged to celebrate something that you will not see again in your lifetime. And perhaps your children will not see again in their lifetime. The birthday of America bicentennial. But that's really an introduction to what's still greater celebration that we were privileged to witness. Another special heritage of this generation. The centennial of our Lord's Second Advent, 1974. Oh, I presume if we were able to take the time to go into documentary, we could prove to you that many peculiar, outstanding, classical things are happening since that period of time. I have, matter of fact, I have documents with me on tornadoes for a small sample. It was one of the 1974 was one of the greatest tornado years. We had 1,000 of them. Now that's relevant because you're getting into the stormy elements of the presence of the Master. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. His lightnings are lightning in the world, and the earth saw and trembled. So it's very significant to see the signs in the spiritual domain. So much for the clouds and darkness. But in our territory, you see, in Israel, there was darkness in the camp of the Egyptians, but there was light in Israel's dwelling place. And so I want to bring to your attention the Feast of Lights. That was one of the feasts. Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus attended these feasts and drew attention to himself. I am the light of the world. And he also is the water of life. So all these various celebrations, Jesus was present to let them know that he was fulfilling them. He's the Purim, he's the Tabernacle, he's the Pentecost, all these various feasts. Feast of Trumpets. And so, is it by coincidence that the bell, the Liberty Bell, on this bicentennial, which is the first time it has been drawn to my attention, has a scriptural quoted on it? Leviticus 25, 9 and 10. It's the 10th verse of quoted. And ye shall hallow the Jubilee, the 50th year. It's the same thing, the Jubilee year. And proclaim leprosy throughout the land. Some of us have a special heritage in liberty. I presume all of you that come here from other countries have a special heritage in liberty. But it's not just for ourselves that we proclaim it, it's for all the land and all the inhabitants of the earth. And that's a trumpet proclamation. That's what caused the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement. That's where we are. Shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land? How can you get so many conjunctions of momentous events and days and happenings all wrapped together like that? The 10th day, that's a divine number. Of the 7th month, that's God's number. Completion and perfection is the Day of Atonement. Told you we were going to get into that. In conjunction with the proclamation of liberty. Why? Because atonement, the ransom sacrifice, is what makes salvation and liberty possible. No wonder it should be proclaimed. And are we proclaiming it? Well, you see, we have a special station in the proclamation because we have to understand how to blow that trumpet. It's got to be on the right key. And the key is not the fact that he came, not alone the fact that he came 2,000 years ago and provided the ransom, which is a very important key. It's the next note, that he has come again, and that he's now present, and that the substance feature of the ransom process, which is the sin offering in which the church has a stake, in which there will not be the relinquishment of the blessings until that particular feature is completed, which is the blood of the goat. Just as the blood of the bullock was brought before justice, before the mercy seat, that was Pentecost. That's what the Pentecost was waiting on. 50 days! The disciples were 50 going to the upper and wait! And they must have had a marvelous convention up there, just like you have here. But they were in some degree of suspense also, waiting. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for this process, this procedure to be completed of the presentation of the blood of Jesus, the ransom, before the throne of justice in the Most Holy. Now that process is going to be repeated. There is another momentous anticipation to be oriented to in your thinking, in your concept. Because the blood of the goat, which is just about ready now for completion, has also got to be brought up before the throne, the mercy seat, and there presented to complete the sacrifice, the arrangement, the ransom, and the sin offering. And then all things will begin to be manifested down here on the earth. But the manifestation is already taking place in anticipation of this event. And so that's why we're in the third day. And many things are happening in there. We'll just give you briefly a reference to that in because of another typical connotations. Paul, of course, alludes to it. But in the 19th chapter of Exodus, we read, in the third month, see, three is another divine number. In the third month, when the children of Israel were going forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, Moses went up unto God. The Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and to tell the children of Israel. And he's about to make a covenant with them. And the result of this covenant will be, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. But then you sat on that, and you should have heard of it if you are aware of it. You are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into marvelous what? Light. Remember we told you that's the theme when we started out with light. You are dwellers of light, be light. Kingdom of light. Your father is the father of light. And this was the promise to Israel, but they missed it. But we received it. So all this, of course, on this third day, he said, I'll be ready against the third day, that's where you are, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. Where do you think you are? You're in the process of the completion of the temple. It's the third day. Ready against the third day, for the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. That's what he's doing now. He's coming down the sight of the people, and that's why there's the shaking, the quaking, the storm, the cloud, the darkness, the fire, because the Lord is about to establish a new covenant. How you like that thought, beloved? As prospecting a momentous event that affects all of the world, not only us, the church. And so Hebrews, and Paul in Hebrews, brings our attention to this event by saying, telling us that ye are not come to the mount that might be touched and burned, that burned with fire. Not the blackness and darkness and tempest. I was going to say trumpet. No, you come to the trumpet, all right. But not to the tempest speak. The trumpet you got to hear. And to the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. That's how the trumpet affected them. And it affects the world today on the same level in terms of the negativism. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and the shadow. And so it's a shout to the Lord, to those who are out of harmony with the kingdom arrangements which were about to be established, but in a shout of encouragement to those who are in harmony with God's arrangements. You're coming to Mount Zion to see the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. This is the whole thing in prospect. As it was in Exodus, it was the law covenant. Now it is the new covenant of which ye are participators. This is my blood of the new covenant. All of you drink of it. Do you feel it running through your veins? Do you feel the sense of life and power that is entering into your spirit as new creatures to prepare you for the consummation of the sealing of this covenant? To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the brother speaking that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Whose voice then shook the earth? You know what that means in the latest connotations? Earthquakes. Have you had it? Have you heard it? Have you felt it? But we didn't know the voice of God could do that. He spake, and it was done. He said, let there be light. And all the heavenly bodies of giant dimensions moved in a way to make it possible for light to come into the earth. Because the earth was null and void and in darkness. Until the voice of God said, let there be light. And so his voice is just as powerful in the other domain of shaking the earth. When he speaks, the earth trembles. And that's why you're getting earthquakes of constant accentuating magnitude. It's the voice of God reminding us that something is about to happen. His voice then shook the earth, but now he comes saying, yes, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but the heavens. Of course, that's the symbolic heaven, and this is the symbolic earth also. It has the literal aspect, but it's the literal is a connotation of the symbolic and the spiritual. Revelation 19th chapter, which in conjunction with the seventh plague, which speaks about the mighty earthquake, so great an earthquake and so mighty an earthquake in which the city of the nations fell and Babylon, the great city, was divided in three parts, is symbolical. But it has its literal counterpart in order to get us prepared to appreciate the spiritual. So it's the heavens being shaken. You say, what happened when the heavens shake? Well, literally, when they shake, the stars fall. You ever heard about falling stars? We had them back there in the east. I don't know if you get them out here in Chicago, but a few years ago, 1700s, it's in the fourth fire. Falling stars, stars and meteors. Oh, yeah, when the heavens shake, the stars fall. But the spiritual heavens, or the ecclesiastical heaven, when they shake, Babylon falls also. So this is what's happening at this juncture of time, the third day. Now, coming back to the trumpets, we want to bring to your attention the great event of the walls of Jericho. We're working backward, because if we don't get all the way through, we can start a new sermon another time. In the sixth chapter of Joshua, we get this great incident of where the trumpets again come into full play. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king of the mighty men of valor. Have you heard that message? The Lord has said unto antipathical Joshua and to us, and the city of Jericho is all walled in. That's Satan's dominion. Because a strong man, one stronger than he, well, there's a strong man involved, but one stronger than he has entered into his house and has begun binding him, and he's going to destroy his whole house. So the walls of Jericho are surrounded. But do you get the essence of the message that it has already been done as far as the Lord is concerned, as far as we're concerned? I have given into thine hand, Jericho, and the king thereof. Satan is no longer an object of fear for us. He's not only being bound, but he's doing the seal. And we are part of that seal. But you didn't think about it that way. You said, I have so much trouble with him. Well, that's just to make you strong. Learn how to develop spiritual muscles and so forth. But as far as his ability to overcome you or to overthrow you, that's not in the picture any more than it was with Jesus. Oh, he'd be permitted to tempt you as he was permitted to tempt Jesus. But his doom was sealed. And that was what his resurrection meant. He says, now is the prince of this world cast out. I beheld Satan's lightning, as your light, fall from heaven. Can you get that projection of anticipation of victory? Which the Lord has given to us. Well, that's what he said for Joshua. But there is work to be done. And so we have work to do. And he shall compass the city all the men of war. This is all part of the Lord's army. The Revelation tells you that he was seen in heaven. And the armies in heaven followed him on white horses and with swords. Oh, we're in the warrior camp. We got our white horses. We're on the troops. I hope. That's going to be a big question, I suppose, more and more as to who's in the troops. But if you're going to get into this picture, you've got to be in the truth. These are white horses that they occupy, that they ride. And the sword of the Spirit. So to compass the city, all the men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall ye do 6 days. There's your seven plagues. Seven times around. Oh, you didn't know the plagues were already in operation. Oh, my goodness, this is all about to fall pretty soon. 7 days. There's our priesthood. We're coming to the ark. We get that far. 10 priests shall bear the ark, 7 trumpets. There's our feast of trumpets. A ram's horns in the seventh day, 777. Shall he compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpet. Are you blowing any trumpet? If you blow loud enough, this place will fall down. This system, this domain of Satan. Well, eventually come. You didn't believe it that much, though, did you? Well, go back to Jericho and find out how the Lord does things. It's the kind of talk of when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, have you heard the sound of the trumpet? Revelation 11, 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign. But you haven't seen that. You say, I don't see it yet. That's because you haven't heard the sound. You have ears and you don't hear. You have eyes and you don't see. That's possible. I'm sure there's none of that group here. the sound of the trumpet itself is something to stir fear into the enemies of the kingdom of Christ, let alone the blowing of it, the proclamations. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout. That adds to the state consternation that went into the hearts of these Jerichoans, if there's such a word, people that dwell in Jericho. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. The city shall be divided into three parts. Cities and nations fell down flat. Every island was moved away. All the mountains were shaken up. And the sea and the waves were roaring. That's your picture in Revelation. Come down flat. I love that. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the ark. Oh, beloved, I told you, we may not have time to go on the pillar, but we'll come back on that subject. The ark, oh, that's something that we want to get to. And he said, take up the ark of the covenant. And the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. Now, Israel was very well acquainted with the significance of the ark, the power that was associated with it, and the destiny of their salvation being dependent upon the ark and the priests. And so will the world. It is not written in Romans. The whole creation groaneth. So glad the brother remembered in his prayer those who were in need of special counsel. Even we ourselves groan with the Spirit, groan within ourselves, which are the first fruits. But the whole creation burns and travails in pain together unto now, waiting for what? The ark. The manifestation of the sons of God. So the Israel, as we say, were well acquainted with the interlocking of the ark of the covenant and the priesthood with their destiny. And the sons of the people pass on and compass the city and let him go his arm and pass on before the ark of the Lord. Yes. The armies of the Lord are doing their work in preparation for the manifestation of the ark. We've seen the ark already. I'll come back to that point. But the armies of the Lord is going on before they're doing their work. These armies that are following the king in Revelation, the 19th chapter. And it came to pass when Joshua spoke unto the people that the seven priests bring the seven trumpets of the ram's horns, passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets. That's another thing now. I'm sure you have a trumpet. Are you blowing on it? Are you sounding it? Or are you hiding it? Laying it on the shelf. That's no good. They were commanded to blow on the trumpet. Make a sound of it. Let people know what the truth is, what it stands for, and proclaim it. Proclaim ye liberty unto the land. Tell them about the kingdom. Announce the restitution. The times is to first come. That's the proclamation. When it's obvious, you don't have to come. It's obvious. People come back from the dead, as they say, and those who were sick are healed, and the lame walk, and the blind. You don't have to tell them it's restitution. They'll know it. They'll feel it. You couldn't tell me anything different. I know what I've been through. But the proclamation is to announce that it's on its way and that the process by which it will be brought to pass is now set in motion. From 1874 on. Jubilee year. So hold on that trumpet. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Now, of course, after on the 6 days they were to walk around, there's your seven plagues. On the seventh day they walk around seven times. So you see, on the seventh, when the seventh plague is in operation, all the six work together. So you have seven, before it was one plague at a time. But now that we're in the seventh stage, seventh angel is sounded and everything is on seven bases, all the other six work together. There's nothing future about this thing. It's just because you've got to get the grandeur of the picture to see the whole thing. So on the seventh day, they walk around seven times. Everything works together, concurrently now. So it came to pass at the dawning of the day, it came to pass on the seventh day that there was early about the dawning of the day. Are you aware of the dawn? Or you think it's not morning yet, too? You got that? You haven't got that straight. It's not yet dawn yet. I heard a lot about the dawn. I don't know whether it's to understand it right or not, but I heard a lot about the dawn, so there must be something going on. They're having so much talk about it. Got one with me somewhere. So it must be dawn. And it came to pass that they rose early, early in the morning. I got up early this morning. Very glad I did. Didn't know what time was. Your time is an hour ahead of mine, and I hadn't set my clock, see? So I was up an hour earlier than everybody. Early in the morning, they rose up, the dawn of the day, and encompassed the city after the same manner seven times. And on that day, they encompassed the city seven times. The seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, now get this, beloved. I told you, it's not a matter of just blowing the trumpets. You've got to have a lot of energy for this. None of them blew the trumpets. He said, shout! For the Lord has given you the city. Now, of course you're not shouting if you don't believe that. You may not even be blessed if you're not sure about the presence. So you see, you've got to know where you are. Somebody was talking to me about the stream of time. It's not only the stream of time now, it's the conjunction of events. So that you get it all together. And you've got to know how they work. So it's not only a matter of blowing the trumpet, but you've got to shout. You ever shout, beloved? When you feel happy? That's what the Lord has said when he came. He said, he uses all the symbols that accompany all these seventh trumpet blowing and the manifestation of the ark being seen in the temple. There were voices, thunderings, lightnings. What else? Earthquakes. You haven't seen or heard yet? And where I've been, I understand that they've been going on. California had it. Detroit had it. Chicago had it. Maybe you didn't know it, but it had it. And all over the world has had them. Italy's had them. Guatemala's had them. Nicaragua's had them. The oceans have had them. Alaska's had them. All over the globe. It's a global picture. Earthquakes and hail. They're getting that more and more. The last one I heard, I got an article with me just last week, the size of an egg. It used to be the size of a golf ball. See, it's getting bigger. So the Lord is giving you the city. Is in conjunction with the fact that the Lord has descended with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and with a shout. Have you joined him in the shout? Why? He said the Lord gave me the city. That's the problem. That's the point of view. The kingdoms of this world have become the kings of our Lord. And you say, I don't see that. There's so much trouble in the world. You've got to get it on the mountain. And see it the way God sees it. Just like the seagull tests on faith. You are people of faith, beloved. That's where it was how we trained Israel. They hadn't made a step in the direction before the Joshua gave the instructions that he told them that God was already given to them. They hadn't started yet, and they said it was already given to them. See, that's how God wanted to encourage them. So the same with you. The kingdoms of this world are become the transference of authority and rulership and sovereignty. And suzerainty in the scepter is an accomplished fact as far as we're concerned by our faith, since we know the power of our God. Count for joy, for the Lord has given you the city. And so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it came to pass, now hear me now, beloved, when the people heard the shout of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Hello there. Fell down flat. So that the people went up in the city, heard the man straight before them, and they took the city. If you are living up to your privileges, you'll see, beloved, that the results of our message, Brother Russell had the experience, it's just being reenacted for the benefit of the remnant of the church that is still here. But the shout that Brother Russell gave out in the proclamation of those volumes, the Battle of Armageddon, time is at hand, thy kingdom come, forward-thinking Christians, and all of these messages so stirred up the world of Babylon that they never forgot his name. Not even to this day. Because he shouted and he blew the trumpet. And so it is still that when they catch the connotations of the shout and they recognize what that blowing the trumpet means, and that the Lord is here to take up his reign which he has done since 1878, but to enact and to put into operation the mechanical operations of that, when the cities of the nations are aware of that, they'll fall down flat. There'll be no strength left in them. Even Israel will recognize who's running things. Believe that? Every eye shall see him. And we sung about the mourners, and they that pierced him shall mourn for him as one mourneth for her only son and is in bitterness for her firstborn. Even Israel shall see him. That's how great would be the manifestations of the blowing of the trumpet, the shout, and the voice of the archangel of the Lord. But you've got to see it that far ahead. So, they all blew, they all shouted, and Babylon fell. And we've been shouting that message way back in the early years. That was the first message we shouted. Babylon, Babylon is fallen. Become the habitation of foul spirits, hateful birds, and unclean spirits. A long time ago, from God's standpoint, it was yesterday. But you see, the difference is you kind of lost track of the fact that it's reality. You say, it was so long ago, I wonder if it's going to happen. It was just yesterday. It's got to happen. That's the way it is. All right, now, so we see what the speech of trumpets is. We really got into it now. We're all going to trumpets. Not only one thing, it's many things. We're telling you about the Jubilee. Oh, yeah, of course, you've got to understand where you are, as you say, on the stream of time, but you've got to know specifically where you are. There must not be any haziness, any doubt, any confusion in your mind as to where you are, because if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to react? So then we have believed that you must know that definitely, accurately, positively where you are, which means that you're in the Jubilee year. This is the seventh day, and this is the year of our Lord's, this is the year of our Lord's return. Since 1874. Now, besides that we have to believe these things, we have to act upon them in accordance with our belief. And this means, of course, that we understand the kingdom has already been set up, and that all the things that God has said will come to pass of a surety, because the times of restitution spoken of by the mouth of all his holy prophets have come. So you know where we are that way. So this is what I'm saying is this is why all these are the notes which you're blowing on the trumpet. If you're not uncertain about what you're blowing. Restitution, time is at hand, the reign of Christ, the ransom. It's the gospel age, this is atonement day. The ransom has been paid, and soon the church will be completed and united with the Lord, and then the new covenant will go into effect. You're blowing on that trumpet. All right, there are many other aspects of it, but we just want to show you how comprehensive this trumpet feature is. Now, I've got to watch the time here. We can't really have to stop. Or do we have to stop? Yeah. I haven't gotten to the subject officially. This is just the introduction. But we want to get a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant, and we'll take up another portion of it, maybe another time. But in Joshua, it's the crossing of Jordan is what we wanted to get you into, but we won't give it to you halfway. We'll come back and give it to you more later. But the Ark of the Covenant, again, I want to bring to your attention. Now, this was before they got to Jericho. They had to cross Jordan. Of course, that's where we stand. So, Joshua 1:10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "See, this there again. This is an official military aspect. This is the posture of the church." Candicus gives it to us. I think it's in 6:4 or 2:4. Who is this that looketh forth as the morning? Clear as the sun? Fair as the moon? Terrible as an army with banners. That's the posture of the church in this day. And so this is the officers he's again speaking of. Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for in 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go to possess the land. See, now it's the land. Before it was the walls of the city, which the Lord your God giveth to you. Now we're just going to give you briefly the preparations involved in the crossing, involved the Ark of the Covenant. We want to leave that much with you. We'll get to the crossing of Jordan another time. Now the procedure was, it says again, Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And it came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, let that be indelibly impressed then upon your mind. It was upon Israel. But we have it given to us too. I'll come back to that because I may have to close. When you see the Ark of the Lord, your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hitherto. Watch the eye. So in some way, we're bringing you to show you how these counterparts work out so beautifully. In that same context of the seventh angel sounding, the 11th chapter of Revelation, the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kings of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. In that same context, in the 19th verse, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and he was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. And there were, now notice, get your bearings by the events that were associated with the visitors of the ark. In crossing Jordan and going into it, they had to watch the ark, keep the ark in sight. Don't lose it. And in the antithetical application of this 19th verse, where the temple of God was open in heaven, which means what we have experience in understanding who the church is. You are the temple of the living God. I just quote it to you. You are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, and a royal priesthood. Living stones built up into a temple. You are the temple. But the offering seen in the temple is the coming of Christ to resurrect the church, which he did officially in 1878. You say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, I'm sorry. You've got to have new vision. 2020 is not good enough. You've got to have 10-10. The ark was seen in the temple, but now we're saying, here's the events that you can see. If you don't see the ark, watch for the signs, and you'll know that it's there. There were lightnings. Told you about that. Voices. Mentioned that. Thunderings. You've never heard that like you have it lately. So many of them. And then I told you about the earthquake. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I told you that last time we were here. And great hail. If you see these things, happy are you if you know what they mean. The Ark of the Covenant is seen in the temple. So all things are going to come to a grand consummation. Things are so well already accomplished. You must have got to see that. Once the ransom was paid, it was already accomplished back there. Oh, it's just waiting on the church now, but the accomplishment is not in any degree of liability. So go by these signs and you'll know that this picture has been true. And then as we say, it's because it's in the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, that the trumpet is blown to announce all these grand consummations of God's divine plan of the ages. And may his name be praised as we recognize that it is such a wonderful privilege to have our eyesight geared and permitted to appreciate these hidden treasures of spiritual light and to know where we are, not on the stream of time alone, but where we are in God's arrangements, that we are participants in all of these events. And as Haggai says, it's because of the imminence of the completion of this temple structure, in terms of the ark being seen in the temple, that there is the shakings of not only the earth, but of the heavens, and of the sea, and of the dry land, and of everything that's shakable, because it's got to make way for the new kingdom. And may it please God that he may be found worthy to be part of that kingdom arrangement. May the Lord add his blessings.
Thank you, Brother Jacobs, for the lesson on the Feast of Trumpets. This morning, one of the brethren found a key that apparently belongs to a Chrysler product automobile. And if anybody has lost that, it'll be here on the rostrum. Now I'll ask Brother Jacobs to lead us in closing prayer. And the next service will begin in a half hour at 11:30.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Reverend, we come before Thee into Thy presence with awe, recognizing in Thee that Thou He who dwelleth between the cherubims, in the light whereunto no man can approach. And holy, holy, holy is Thy name, and this is what the angels proclaim. And we're glad to have a part in the proclamation that we recognize the just and true are Thy ways. Righteousness and justice are the habitation of Thy throne. And who shall not praise Thee and laud Thy name when they recognize that Thy name is consistent with life?